to the Super Sapphic Film Club. I'm Haley.
Woohoo! I'm Claire.
And this is a podcast where every 3 weeks we watch a different woman love woman / non-binary love woman film in the canon that we made up.
We absolutely do.
We made up things. Oh, and you can check out our movie list on...
Is it Letterboxd?
On Airtable. Oh, fuck, I should put it in Letterboxd. It's coming to Letterboxd very soon, I promise.
Okay, very soon.
Yeah, and there's, like, a tagging system. You can check things out for, like, if you want a comedy, if you want, like, a Indian woman-led sapphic film, there's a bunch of tags. Check it out. We also have a Patreon, where every month we do a bonus episode, and last month we talked about Legally Blonde the Musical for over an hour.
It was very fun. It was great. And then Haley tied me to a chair, made me watch the whole thing.
I did. How are your bruises?
Which was also fun, actually. Oh my God, they're like getting so much better. Look, I don't even have ligature marks.
Wow.
Wow.
Girl Scouts.
Yeah. It was fun, though. It was good.
It was fun.
Anyway, this week we watched I Care a Lot, the 2020 movie starring Rosamund Pike on Netflix as we speak.
Yes.
It was a ride.
Dude, I don't know what happened. I mean, I think partly because this came out in 2020, but I fully thought that this was like a character study, like takedown of her. Like, I thought this was a legal drama. Like, I just didn't know what was the fuck going on. Like,
yeah, I never got the memo that it was like a black comedy.
No.
I just thought that it was like a drama. I don't know if I even had like a courtroom tacked on to that. I just thought it was like a drama about how much this woman sucks.
Yeah. No, that's kind of what I thought too, where it's like, and it was going to be like a takedown of her being terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was super not that.
It was not that. It was very odd. I like Googled so much because I wanted to know the writer director. What was his name again?
Jay Blakeson.
Jay Blakeson, thank you. I wanted to know what he was trying to do, because I didn't feel like it was clear. After the movie ended, I was unclear on what he was trying to do.
Same.
I've, like, concluded that he was just bad at it, but...
I also, like, I want to get into that, because I also feel like... I hate this movie.
We should do plot. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry. And I'm... trying to not be such a, like, bitch about it, but I could really feel myself in that research I did, because I also was like, how did this happen? Like, what was the intention? What's going on? And I could, like, feel my ring, like, hackles getting up and just, like, getting closer to, like, a bitch-eating crackers kind of, like, situation.
Yes!
but really quickly, I wrote down a plot. Do you want me to go over?
I love a plot. Yes, please.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so this is a US and UK production, and it follows Marla, played by Rosamund Pike, who's a lesbian, by the way.
Who's a lesbian, by the way?
Who's a lesbian? The doctor was a woman.
The president of the United States, who's a woman, by the way? Okay, I'm done now. Done now.
No, that's good, though. A legal guardian that makes her living exploiting elderly people through shady dealings with doctors and care home owners. Her operation isolates people from their family if they have one, as she claims they are not in sound mind to represent themselves legally or medically, as she bleeds them dry financially, making herself a small fortune. When her newest target, played by Diane Wiest, Queen, turns out to be the mother of an American head of the Russian mafia, we think Marla has maybe met her match in Roman, played by Peter Dinklage. But unfazed in the threats to her life and loved ones, and interested in the chance to be bought out, she goes head-to-head with Roman, hoping to get a few million for the return of his mother, who she has essentially kidnapped, through means that are completely legal, albeit fraudulent. Hijinks ensue, and ultimately Marla is successful. She somehow 4D chesses her way into creating a scenario where Roman is one of her wards. That was my dog. And in a final turn, the two end up teaming up to scale Marla's guardian operation to a corporate national scale. The final sequence shows Marla's unbridled success as an American tycoon type, one of the new business success stories to be quoted in infinity for the rise and grind sociopaths lurking on productivity and landlord Twitter. After an interview, she is fatally shot by a man who we saw harassing her at the beginning of the film. The man's mother was one of her wards, and she somehow convinced a judge to disallow the family from visiting, and his mother has since died alone in a nursing home with none of her family able to reach her. End of film.
That's the whole movie. There it is. Yeah, this is crazy. I was like, I had almost no expectations like going into it. I really didn't think it would be that good. And then we started watching it, and it was like that guy who kills her at the end, like in a courtroom with Marla. And they're like, you know, discussing with the judge, like, should he be disallowed from seeing his own mother? And the judge is like, yes, because it's upsetting her. That's what Rosamund Pike said. I trust Rosamund Pike. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. Like, clearly she's a monster. Like, let's see where this goes. Yeah. And then Rosamund Pike and her, like, partner, both, like, in business and romance.
And sex.
And in sex. My sex partner. God. Played by Isa Gonzalez.
Queen.
Are, like, talking by the car. And she's like, God, I love ruining everyone's lives around me or whatever. The guy is like, hey, bitch. And it kicks off this, like, weird girl boss monologue. Like, a really small one, but very definitively a girl boss monologue.
Yes.
And I turn to Haley and I go, because this is one of the few that we, like, watched, like, in the same room together. And I go, is this, like, a girl boss movie? And you were like, I don't think so, but, like, that sure looked like it. So, very confusing. I'll let you speak now. I spoke a lot, but...
No. I mean, like, same. I feel like, again, in a different movie, it could be almost interesting to see how, like, white women, like, use feminism as, like, a way to excuse bad behavior or, like... Like, I don't know. I just, like, didn't get what it served the story to be, like... She legally kidnapped his mother and disallowed her from seeing any of her family. Like, what a horrible thing to do. But, like, because he called her a bitch and also did, like, threaten to sexually assault her or, like, said that he hoped
that she was sexually assaulted. Yeah, or just said, I hope that that happens to you and also you get murdered and stuff. Yeah.
Right. It's like, well, like, I know it sucks that, like, when men are angry at you, that's, like, a thing that they resort to because there's, like, this inherent power structure in our society. But, like, why? I don't feel like it's, like, well, he did say that. So, like, I just, like...
So, like, it's almost the same as, like, basically killing your loved one and, like, sentencing them to prison for nothing. And they're never able to see their loved ones again, which even prisoners get to do.
I literally so, like, was, like, I can understand... like, that I don't know everything and that, like, this kind of elder abuse happens, like, more frequently than, you know, we'd like to admit, probably. But, like, a judge to be like, actually, you can't get visitations right in a nursing home, like, there's no way to actually enforce that. Like, that was the other thing. This nursing home with, like, locked doors, my grandma's in very intense memory care, and there's no, like... There's no armed guard by the door to make sure that approved visitors only get through. It's just so
absurd. Okay, good. That's, like, what I thought, too. Like, what? Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, there is a door with an alarm that, if it goes off without the code, will, like, beep. But that's because if a patient wanders out, then they know. But it's not like...
Yeah, exactly. It's not like... Like, literally an armed guard at the front door, which is what they portray in this movie. Yeah, and that just, like, kicks off, like, the rest of the movie has, like, that same filament running through it of, like, she's a complete fucking monster, but also will give her, like, two or three serious, like, lean-in feminism girl boss moments that are just deeply confusing when, like, paired with her, like, complete, like, sociopathy, like... Literally, like, a monster.
Yeah.
Like, monstrous things that she does. And also, it's always, like you said, there's a way this could be done that would be really interesting. Like, the, like, I think of, like, girl boss influencers who are, like, part of MLMs.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like a rich text.
Yes.
Like, for talking about the language of, like, girl boss capitalism, slay, but you still have, like, underlings, and it's like you're at the top of the pyramid, and underneath you are all these people you're exploiting. Like,
how can you build your network?
I know, exactly. How can you build your network?
Girls.
Girl boss empire. I get all of your fucking money, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No. So can I get into some of my research? Because I think it ties into this.
Yes, please.
Of like, there was like a brief moment that I still might feel that I'm not like totally decided on, where I kind of started to resent that she was a lesbian.
Oh, yeah.
Not in execution, but in how it formed. I sat down to write my thoughts on this movie, knowing that I'd be contending with my own personal bias, which, like, by the way, this is like the least fortuitous time for me to have watched this film. Like I said, my grandma's in memory care, and just like watching nursing homes and like the legal system be flattened to this like cartoonish evil of like, you know, people who work in nursing homes just try and like sedate people. And, you know, I don't know. It's just like, I need to put my bias aside, because I know that this happens and I know that this is like a genuine problem. And like, we've created a structure in our country where, you know, elderly people are vulnerable to all kinds of horrible things. This is just one of them. So I was looking for intelligent analysis that would help me like convince me to be less of a cynical bitch. And all I really saw was people like praising this film for just like daring to have such an evil protagonist, which I'm just personally uninterested in. Like, if you're going to do that, like, you know, make them, you don't have to make them likable, but I think you have to make them empathetic, where it's like, you understand why they're doing that, or it's like making you question, like, am I a bad person? Like, would I do that kind of stuff? Like, there was just never any like reflection with this character. It was just like, she is kidnapping elderly people and milking them for all they're worth. Anyway, so then I saw the writer and director was British, and I was immediately ready to go scorched earth on this movie.
Why?
I just feel like this issue is too heavy.
For British people, I completely agree.
So in an interview with Rolling Stone, Jay Blakeson says that he got the idea of the movie by reading an article about predatory guardians in America. And it really stuck with him, and he combined it with his, like, desire to, he had always had this desire to make a story about a ruthlessly ambitious woman.
Sorry, I just, like, couldn't control my, like, cringe just then out of just the wording of that.
Where it's like, I feel like he wanted us to be like, oh, so because she's a woman, she's evil. Oh, and it's like, she's evil because what she's doing is horrific. Like,
yeah,
her gender and actually... Also, like, has nothing to do with it.
Yeah. And that's like the most confusing part to me, is no one with a brain who's watching this movie could possibly be confused about that. Like, I feel like so certain in my bones that there's no way to watch this movie and be like, I can't believe that he like called her a bitch. Like, that's so like sexist. Like, it is. Yeah. It is. But also, she's such a fucking monster. Is that really the hill you want to die on? Like, she's being a bitch. She's being way worse words than bitch right now to this man. So, like, I just don't have it in me to watch, like, a mini girl boss monologue about how having a dick doesn't make you better or whatever. Like, does it hurt to lose to me in court just because I have a vagina? That's, like, literally what she says in the movie. And it's like,
oh my God,
what is happening right now? I'm not rooting for you. What is going on?
It feels so out of place. Like, and and this wasn't the intention at all. Like, I'm not, like, accusing him of this, but it feels similar to, like, those, like, lifestyle movies that get, like, put on to, like, bot accounts on TikTok of, like, you wouldn't believe, like, he tried to put her down, but she put him in his place. Like,
literally. Literally, I also put, like, it feels like this was supposed to be her showing her putting him in his place, and, like, that's what we're watching right now. And then she, like, gives this whole girl boss monologue, and he looks, like, pathetically at her. Like, he doesn't even, like, storm off or have anything else to say. It's like, he's like, oh my God, she won.
Oh my God.
With logic. It's like, what's going on?
So, I feel like this topic was too heavy. Like... And he even says in an interview with Collider, he was like, the aim wasn't to do an expose on this scam. It was more to like show this scam as like an example of what happens in the world, of what happens in a world that is focused on success and efficiency and trusting people you already know.
That's so funny. I watched the same interview.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. This is where I kind of got into bitch eating crackers.
Yes. Hit me.
Because in the interview, he expands on this idea that outside appearances don't always match intentions. And like Marla is a guardian of elderly people, she's beautiful, she's thin, she's white. A lot of people, like when they look at her, will have a good feeling about her. They're like, I just have a gut sense, like she's good people. But she knows this and she uses this to her advantage to exploit a vulnerable population. And he says that this didn't quite make it into the film. And I just like don't get why you would have such an interesting idea like that and not like make that the film. Like it would be so much more in line with the first act, I think, where we just like see what she does. Like it's set up really well, like how she operates and the people that she works with. And instead he threw in a Russian mafia boogeyman and like nuked any chance of exploring these ideas until like the last 6 minutes where he throws this Hail Mary of like, no, it's been about something this whole time. Like it's about capitalism. And it's like,
oh my God, exactly. You're right, actually, because like at first I didn't really understand that point he was making about it not being in the film. Like I could see they never like talked about it, but it felt present, like to me and to you when we were watching it. Yeah. Especially the courtroom scene at the very beginning where she has like the sharpest bob of all time, extremely put together, dressed to the nines for court or whatever. And the judge is like, but I know Marla, like right. She does this all the time. So like, what do you mean Marla's like a complete monster? Like yeah. Marla wouldn't do that. I know Marla, look at her. Then this like random guy with like, you know, unkempt sort of hair and beard and like red baseball cap, is like emotional because it's his fucking mom who's been like kidnapped basically.
Yeah.
And like, so I felt like it was present there, but you are right too. Like that makes more sense that they go on this like Russian mob tangent for like literally like 2/3 of the movie.
The rest of the film.
And then the rest of the movie until the last 10 minutes where they show like a girl boss montage of her and the Russian mafia guy like teaming up to create like elder abuse, the national company. And then like at the very end, her getting shot in the head and it was like, what? Or, you know, in the chest or whatever, but like, what the fuck? Like that, that whole point was not about, like until the girl boss montage, there was absolutely nothing about her appearance that made any difference whatsoever. No. So what was all that for?
Right. And like, you watched the Collider video.
Yeah.
So you saw his like comments about how he saw this as like, he saw the movie as like Marla versus Roman. Like he's like, these are like two gangsters going head to head.
Yeah.
Huh?
I could a little bit see his point. Like he made the point that what Marla's doing is really not unlike like something. Oh, yeah, you know, yeah. It's just, it's a
really intelligent point. I really liked that.
Yeah. But like I don't even remember what he said now. What did he say that like made you not like it?
Because his whole point is like, it's interesting that like everything she does is like on the right side of the law, you know, it's like all by the books and what he does is like completely illegal. But I just like, I couldn't get over like the power imbalance, like, you know, within her small network of people that she exploits, like she can't just like bringing in the Russian mafia should like break reality in the sense that it's like, you know, our normal day-to-day society that we uphold through like rules and stuff. Like she's exploiting one avenue of that, but like he exploits that in a very different way, which is violence, which is like way more powerful than like, you know, convincing a judge that you're trustworthy when you're not. Like it's just, it's different.
Exactly. Yeah. And also like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like her being on the right side of the law. Like she's not, like, no one knows that what she's doing is illegal. Like, she's working with a doctor to give people, like, provably false dementia diagnoses. Like, What is that if not illegal?
Well, that was his point. It's like, it was, like, about the outside perception of, like, you know. But it's like, that falls apart because we're watching the movie that you're making and seeing that it's not actually legal.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and also, like, in general, the whole, like, him versus her thing pissed me off. Because partially because literally the whole movie, the only enjoyment I was getting was thinking that Marla was about to like be killed horribly by the Russian mafia. Like I was like so stoked about it because this movie goes so fucking ham, making you hate her guts. I have not hated a character like this in such a long time.
Yeah.
So my only enjoyment I was getting was like imagining like she's finally met her fucking match. Like the best scene, in my opinion, was when Marla was in the nursing home with the mom of the Russian mob.
Yeah. Jennifer?
And
I think it's Jennifer.
Jennifer, I think, yeah. And she's like, you know, had the people at the nursing home like drug her because she was like uncooperative or whatever, which again, like, does that, you know, I don't know anything, but like, feels bad to like portray it that way.
And that's where I get so pissed. I'm like, this is like a British guy who read a couple articles about how shitty our healthcare system is and now has like flattened it into this like comical evil to like serve his thriller movie that doesn't actually care about any of the issues that he's using for entertainment.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. Sick. But Marla has just been like confronted by this lawyer who's like way hoity-toitier than she would have expected from anyone who's ever talked to her about any of the people under her care, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And so she's like a little freaked. Like, what the fuck is going on? How did he hear about Francis? Or sorry, is it Francis? It's Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Oh, Fran is her girlfriend. Sorry.
And
so she's talking to Jennifer and she's like, what the fuck is going on? And Jennifer's like, oh, what day is it? Like, she's a little like doped up, but she's like, what day is it? She's like, it's the whatever. And she's like, oh, you're fucked.
It's so good.
Because she knows that she missed like the meeting she always has with her son where they like, I don't know, exchange stuff or talk or whatever, just like meet and check in. So he knows now and he's coming after her. And I was like, fuck yes, let's fucking go. I want to see this bitch get thrown into a dumpster in like pieces. Like, I'm stoked about it.
Right.
And instead they like team up at the end. It was like unbearable because I really wanted her to, I wanted this like veneer of like professionalism and like trustworthiness. Yes. To like be meaningless in the face of like a truly violent, dangerous person.
Yes.
And like be like, show like the toothlessness of like people who run like corporate America and how they cannot fucking throw hands. Yeah. You know, all they do is like shake hands and kiss babies and then exploit people. Right. And then suddenly this guy's like, none of that fucking means anything to me. Give me back my mom or you're going in the lake. And instead it just like didn't do that. And I like don't understand why. And it like really pissed me off.
Like, exactly. And it's also, it's like, there's, I'm getting into bitch eating crackers territory. Cause like, listen, these kind of like nitpicks, I would forgive in a movie that like had a point that I understood more clearly. But it's like the fucking like acrobatics it takes for Marla to beat Roman is absurd.
Oh my god. Exactly. That was also what I was thinking.
Because, like, this, like, lawyer comes in and he, like, you know, has his, like, gotcha moment in court, but it's all undermined because he can't prove that he's ever represented Jennifer. And it's like, okay, so a mafia lawyer isn't going to forge, like, a signature to, like, show or, like,
good point.
Do anything shady to win one fucking, like, personal, like, law case.
What?
And, like, they killed the doctor who wrote the fake, like, prescription or fake diagnosis for Jennifer, but, like, didn't have her, like, implicate Marla in anything or, like, retract her diagnosis or, like, do anything that would call her diagnosis into question before killing her.
Good point.
And then, so this is the thing that I really took umbrage with, is it's like, you brought in this boogeyman, Russian mafia, and then you made it boring by having the protagonist not give a shit that she's threatened. Ever. Even in a scene where they're finally facing off, like, Peter Dinklage, or Roman has kidnapped Marla, and they're, like, in this lot surrounded by cars. She's tied up, like, almost been suffocated by a plastic bag. And she's like, I don't care if I die. I just want you to pay me, and then I'll give you your mom back. Like, it's so simple. I don't even care. And it's like,
yeah.
Why are there no stakes?
Exactly.
It just felt like an attempt to be subversive, but it really only, like, reminded me that it's, like, just doing the unexpected will not serve you if you do it for the sake of surprise.
Exactly. Like, I'm sorry, even if she's like, you know, has some condition or whatever, such that she does not like, I don't know, feel adrenaline in situations where normal people, or, you know, quote unquote normal people, most people would feel adrenaline.
Yeah.
She should at least recognize the severity of the situation she has found herself in and treat it accordingly.
Exactly. And then the mobsters fail to kill her for, like, and don't even try to see if she actually drowned or not. And then, like, through a series of happy accidents, she ends up, like, kidnapping Roman and, like, abandoning him in the woods. And then, like, somehow the guardian assigned to his case. Like, it's just all, like, this house of cards. And then, honestly, in this conversation, I'm getting a little frustrated that it was Roman's idea to team up. When it's, like, wouldn't it be the ultimate act of cunning, of, like, ruthless capitalists to be, like, I feel like them teaming up could have been, like, her bargaining chip in the, like, abandoned lot when he first had her. It's like, you shouldn't kill me. I can give your mom back, but I'll do you better. We could team up. Like, you could, like, scale my operation for me. Instead, he's like, you know what? I can't help but respect you, even though you're literally holding me hostage.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
I don't.
Yeah. It's just dumb. And, like, they, you know, arranged for her to die in such a way that it looks like she just drove into a lake. But she lives, and it's entirely by luck. She should have died there. She, like, woke up at, like, exactly the moment such that she could live through that potentially. Yeah. And then manages, I'm sorry, to, like, not to, like, ding CinemaSins, but, like, kicks out the back window of a car underwater. Kicks it out. Can you imagine the strength required to shatter the back window of your car, even outside of water? It just feels completely impossible to do that, to, like, get the, like, force necessary to do that. Like, with her feet, nothing else. It just, like, honestly ticked me off. It's like, so she did not survive. That's, like, that's not showing me that she's, like, surviving by her wits or, like, by being brave, which is what they, like, just talked about, was, like, you have to be brave and a little stupid and also ruthless in America. That was what ticks me off, too, now that I know that he's British. It's, like, in that fucking monologue, I like, in my head, I translated it to, like, in this world, you have to be stupid and ruthless and whatever. But she says it in America. Shut the fuck up,
and
Brit.
And literally, you. And Roman's like, and that, like, maybe you're actually living the American dream.
Oh, my God.
It's, like, I don't know. If I hadn't spent time in Scotland and, like, known how, like, actively people dislike Americans and see them as a punchline, like, I would be less hackled and be like, yeah, I guess that's, you know, fair point. But it's, like, we live in a very fucked up country where it's, like, there's a lot going against us and we're being, like, constantly exploited by late-state capitalism. Like, that's not something to dunk on.
I know, exactly. I also would like someone to tell me, in the absolute simplest terms, the ways in which England is, like, significantly and meaningfully better at, like, literally all of this, except, like, gun control. And, like, I'm right there with you, King. I would love to have gun control.
Yeah.
Making jokes about school shootings is not actually that funny.
No. And that's the thing is, like,
you crazy people.
You guys have benefits and you guys have, like, you know, universalized healthcare, but you also have conservatives who are systematically trying to defund those programs. Like, we are on the same side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, just because you're, at least you're not American doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. It's just, like, I keep coming back to that because we got into this, like, rage hole. Like, this was too serious of a topic for, like, having a film about a woman who sucks, who, like, goes against the mafia. Like, I, like, can't think of anything else that, like, is an equivalent, but it's, like, why throw this in here? It's just so dark. Like, to have no commentary on it except, like, wow, I can't believe this happens. Anyway, don't call women
crazy,
bitches.
Right? Oh my God, literally, exactly. And at the very end, too, where she's, like, just come out of this, like, girl boss interview that's, like, so you're on top of the world with your elderly abuse corporation, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I am. And she's, like, walking to her car with her girlfriend. And
who's a woman, by the way?
Who's a woman, by the way? Her girlfriend is a woman. And she, like, turns to see that guy shouting at her, guy from the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And he just, like, shoots her in the chest. And it feels like, since it follows so immediately after that girl boss montage, it feels almost like a commentary on, like, violence against women.
Oh, no.
And, like, oh, I genuinely don't think it was meant to, but, like, how else are you supposed to combine those two ideas together of, like, girl boss montage, she's on top of the world, and then she's brought down by a man with a grudge. Like, it just really hit me the wrong way. It just, like, was bad.
Whoa.
So, I hate that.
Yeah.
So, here's the thing. I think that's a really valid reading. And, like, honestly, the way that this is set up and the rest of the film, I think that that is, like, there's such a case for that because the anti-capitalism was so thin and bad and, like, rushed at the very last second. It felt like the, like, filmmaker made a film. I mean, I know this isn't true because I know it was written on spec, so, the, like, it was finished and, like, he's the director and the creator. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, it really felt like a... It kind of feels like we made a movie that's pro-elder abuse for the sake of money. Maybe we should turn this in... Because I really think at the very end, he tries to turn it into a morality tale.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, you can't actually win. Like, I kind of... This was aided by the fact that I watched... I didn't watch all of it, but I started... Or no, I'm sorry. It was an interview he did with discussingfilm.net. Where he was, like, talking about his inspirations for the film and, like, how he's a big movie buff. And one of the movies he cited for inspiration that he and Rosamund Pike watched together is one of my favorite movies called Ace in the Hole, which is, like, a 1950s film by Billy Wilder and starring Kirk Douglas. And it's this, like, fantastic film that is, like, one of those crazy movies that's, like, still so prescient because it's, like, the scathing critique of the media and the circuses, like, it gleefully creates to profit off of human suffering. Mm. So, like, there's this man trapped in a cave. He's, like, pinned under rocks and he cannot escape. And Kirk Douglas, this disgraced journalist, finds out about this and creates this whole, like, media circus. And he, like, the man's business that he lives nearby is, like, making big bucks. He's selling the story. Like, he's getting a lot of income. He's getting his credibility back as a journalist. And in order to prolong the story and the attention, instead of doing something that would free the man immediately, he like invents this like crazy thing where they're going to drill down to him.
Interesting.
And because of like the noise from the drill and like the time it's taking to get him, the guy's going crazy and he eventually dies before he's actually rescued. All because of like Kirk Douglas's wanting to draw this out instead of just rescuing him.
Mm-hmm.
And Kirk Douglas like loses everything. Everything good that's come about it is goes away. He feels horrible. And it's like this very tragic end. So I feel like he was trying to do that like tragic end.
Mm.
But the thing is that in that movie, he doesn't get everything he's dreamed of. Like, actually, he just misses out on it. And it's not like he is, like, I just, like, her whole thing of, like, she only gets her comeuppance after she has, you know, built an empire infinitely recreating the human suffering she caused over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, feels like, not like a, wow, she finally got what was coming for her. It's like, actually, this is too real to life in that mm-hmm. even when you get one, like, even if, like, Jeff Bezos died tomorrow, Amazon would still exist. Like,
yeah.
I.
Yeah. Like, now I'm just, like, thinking about how to fix the problems that we have found in this movie. So, like, what you said, like, if in the fucking car lot where they're about to kill her, if she had proposed this, like, business deal, like, that would show, like, her, like, single-minded focus on, like, money and, like, at any cost.
Yeah.
And then, if he had, like, turned her down and actually killed her then, how great would that be? Like, if she was like, and we build a business, and it's elder abuse, the corporation, and it's just the best, and then we make so much fucking money. We'll make so much money. You won't even care that I, like, locked up your mom in prison for months and, like, basically tortured her with, like, food limitations.
Put her in solitary confinement.
Solitary confinement.
Which is just a thing nursing homes have, by the way. What?
Apparently. What? Yeah. And then if he was like, you are fucking nuts, bitch, and then killed her. Like, how great would that have been? That would have actually been, like, a cautionary tale. Like, you're fucking blinded by greed.
Yeah.
And you forget that people care about other people. Like, he's not just going to forget that you tortured his mother for, like, months.
And that's another great thing of, like, what a great way to then call like out the kind of people like her, where it's like even a Russian mafia is like, you've gone too far.
Exactly.
You know? There are lines you don't cross. I can forgive human trafficking, but yeah. Elder abuse?
I draw the line at elder abuse.
That's such literally, a good though, point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
God. Like,
damn it. Instead, it's like, instead, if anything, if this, because I know this is supposed to be like a critique of capitalism, even if it doesn't do it very well, then at the very end, it sort of seems like the solution is to shoot the CEOs in the parking lot. It's like, so the solution is vigilante justice? I feel like that's not necessarily what I would tell people if I were a director who wanted to work with rich people ever again.
So true.
What do I know, though?
But hey, what do I know? Really nothing.
What do I know? Really nothing. Okay, really quick.
Yeah.
You had said earlier, you like, there were some things about this movie that made you, like, sort of, like, a little mad she was a lesbian.
Oh,
what was that?
Yeah, so this feels very nitpicky, so I will say that. Like, I have actually no thoughts about, like, the actual representation. I think it was cool. I think it's, like, you know, I dislike this film just in terms of, like, philosophically, like, I've never been someone who's like, look at how terrible this person is. Isn't it interesting that we're telling a story about someone you hate and doing, like, nothing about that, not even trying to find common ground with their intentions, just like, look at it. This is why I never liked Black Mirror.
Look at it.
So as much as I dislike the film, I think it's cool that we have women who suck in movies, and I think it's cool that we have women who suck who are lesbians in movies. Like, let's all pat ourselves on the back. Representation win. But what I hated is that, and I'm reading into this, so like, bitch eating crackers, I'm sorry, I'm saying that a lot because I'm being a bitch and this man is eating crackers.
I'm just calling it as I see it, okay?
Like, his whole conception of this film, like, I always wanted to make a movie about a woman who's like ruthlessly ambitious. I just, like, it sat ill with me that, like, you couldn't conceive of a woman who was like straight and ruthless, you know? Like, I felt like there was some, like, it's almost like to be taken seriously, women have to behave like men. And, like, for her to, like, fully embody that, she had a girlfriend. Like, I feel like there was, like, no imagination of, like, how this woman would just have a husband who was, like, you know, willing to put up with her ambition, quote-unquote, or, like, you know. Like, she couldn't be the boss in a straight relationship, so, like, she should be a lesbian. Like, I...
Yeah, honestly, I, like, I can see that point. Like, just as we're sitting here now, I feel like I can't really picture, like, the movie if she had a husband. Like, because it feels very much... Like, and also, like, she's in a relationship with her, like, business partner who's, like, actually also her partner. Like, it feels like, just what you were saying. Like, you're trying to create a ruthless, cunning woman. And so you create in your head, like, a ruthless, cunning man with, like, his, like, beautiful, younger, like, girlfriend who works for him.
Yeah.
And then you just turn that person into a woman.
Representation.
Representation when? Like, huh?
And it's, like, again, huh? Like, I think, you know, the end result is totally fine. Like, you know, that is not a dynamic that doesn't exist. I feel like it just felt like a man writing this to me.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, like, heaven forbid they show, like, any, like, tenderness to each other. Like, the only tenderness we really see between them. Not that every lesbian movie has to be, like, ooey gooey whatever.
Exactly.
You know? Obviously they don't. But, like, you couldn't conceive of this, like, ruthless, cunning woman doing anything except, like, fucking her girlfriend against the wall of the old person's home that they just stole. And and also, like, being worried when she, like, gets stabbed in your apartment.
But also, like, telling her beforehand, it's like, baby, it's the Russian mafia. Like, I got this. Don't worry. You're being crazy right now.
It's fine. Like, literally
right
don't worry about it. You know, and of course, like, her girlfriend, like, stereotypical, like, action movie girlfriend is like, we should fucking get out of here. Like, pack a bag. We're fucking running. Please, baby, please. And she's like, I literally have got this. So chill out. But so, yeah. No, I think I see your point. And I'm glad we had anything to say about them being, like, gay, because otherwise this is just us shouting about a movie where they happen to be gay, which, like, will happen too.
Yeah,
it, like, happened last time. They can't all be romances. Yeah, exactly.
I saw a really great Letterboxd review I'll credit the person in the show notes because I can't remember, but they're like, when we said mm-hmm. be gay, do crimes, we didn't mean elder abuse.
Yeah, very true. Very true. I saw a really good review that I liked too. That was by Hannah Georgis. Georgis? Mm-hmm. Who knows? Staff writer at The Atlantic, who said, like, I Care a Lot casts Marla as a morally ambiguous character, despite the fact that her actions clearly harm scores of people, including other women. Though the film's final scene suggests a clear judgment of Marla's ethics, much of the preceding dialogue sets her up as the badass boss babe.
Ooh.
I think very true.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is, it's like, even if that wasn't your intention, like, the fact that there's so much room for that interpretation, like...
It's like, it shows you, like, sort of didn't do it great.
Maybe another draft.
Maybe not. Also, extremely funny thing to me is this movie has, like, 81%, like, critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. Wow. And, like, 32% audience score. People hate this movie. And it pisses me off a little bit because I can really see people, like, critics and, like, other people being like, it's just because they didn't like her as a character. It's like, okay, that's not why, though. Let's not be stupid here, okay?
I feel like you can root for a character you don't like. Like, I feel like our likability conversations can get so bogged down by, like, semantics.
Yeah.
Because it's like, again, like, if you're doing stuff I don't like, but I understand why you're doing it, like, I can, like, we just watched Freaky, and, like, we both felt bad when they were, like, completed the body swap and Vince Vaughn, the horrible, like, psychopathic killer, was killed. We're like, no.
Yeah. But he was funny when he was, like, possessed by the brain of a teenage girl.
When he was pretending to be the main character, I really liked him.
Exactly.
You know, like, it's possible to root for people who suck, and, like, this movie didn't even, like, attempt that.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It felt like he expected us to have some care for the character just because she's the protagonist and we see so much of her and she has some girl boss monologues that I think are supposed to resonate with us, but just left a horrible taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
But like, it did not work.
No.
Apparently not for me or for many other viewers. Yeah. So like, yeah.
And that's the thing is like, if you're not interested in just like watching to see what a shitty character will do next, then like, I can't recommend this movie.
I know, exactly. Like, I recommend pretending it's going to end in a satisfying way such that the mafia guy, like, kills her. And then it's really fun to watch. I had such a blast for, like, 45 minutes when I really thought he was about to murder her and, like, dump her body in the woods. And then at the end, I was like, is this going to have some stupid artsy ending where she doesn't get her comeuppance?
It's not even artsy.
And it sort of is.
I feel like it just breaks comedic rules where it's like...
Yeah.
So, two things. This is... when we were watching this, I literally said, like, this feels like a Coen Brothers movie without any of the punchlines.
Yes, like, exactly.
It wanted to be, like, energetic and fun and, like, absurd, but it just, like, it was working out too well for her. Like, she was winning too much for me to be, like, even entertained by this. And yeah. It's, like, a quote I think about a lot for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Is it's, like...
I was thinking this exact thing.
Yeah, people love that show because they never win. And it's, like...
Yeah.
In this, she wins. Like, I don't...
Yeah. Like, okay, she dies right after, but, like, she still won.
Yeah.
She got everything she ever wanted, and then she died. It's, like, right? That's not actually satisfying.
And that's the other thing is, like... It would have been more satisfying if, like you said, like that veneer, her facade had crumbled and like people saw her for what she really was. But it's like her dying just like means that like none of that will ever happen. People will never know. Like,
yeah.
And she doesn't suffer. I want her to suffer.
I want her to suffer. It cements her as like a girl boss struck down in her prime, which like is not satisfying.
No.
It's not good.
If Elizabeth Holmes had never been caught and then like. You know, struck down in her prime. Like,
exactly my thought. And honestly, like, also, I was thinking of Elizabeth Holmes earlier because of like the like relationships, like hers with like her boyfriend, ? Who like also worked at that company.
Oh, okay.
And versus Marla's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And how like fascinating it was to me and also everyone else that when the trial was going on, that Elizabeth Holmes had all these like weird texts between her and her, like, lover that was, like, extremely, I have a very fuzzy memory of it, but I remember them being, like, extremely, like, submissive and romantic on her part in a way that was, like, very fascinating to me because of this, like, girl boss, I lower my voice on purpose, I dress like Steve Jobs every day thing that she had going on. Like, it was fascinating to me that, like, duality she switched between that was like, hey, sweetie baby bear, like, hey. I miss you so much. Like,
hey, Pookie, can we hang out, I just reheated dinner.
Exactly. Like, and also, like, there was, like, some weird shit in there, too. I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't even, like, normal romance stuff. But it was, like, fascinating to me, so it's, like, a little too bad that she didn't have that, like, a side that might have made us sympathize with her a little bit more against our better judgment. Yeah. Like, if she was, like, so loving and sweet to her girlfriend when really they, like, didn't really interact all that much in the actual movie.
Like, that's... Yeah. I think that's such a great point, because I think it ultimately speaks to how disinterested he was in actually exploring what it would mean to be, like, a ruthless woman like this, or, like, ruthlessly ambitious. Yeah. I just felt like there was more to explore here, and it was just like, but she got more than she bargained for when she messed with the Russian mafia.
But then it turned out she didn't even do that, because she's such a girl boss. She girl bossed her way out of the bad books with the Russian mob.
There's no such thing as girl bossing too close to the sun. My wax wings will never melt.
Exactly. It's like,
I'm sorry, Chris, but like, if it was me, it would have been different.
Yeah. Props to you, Icarus. Like, rep to a real one. But like, I simply wouldn't have my wax wings melt.
I just would have, like, bullied the sun into respecting me more, and it wouldn't have melted my wings.
I would have yelled at the sun that it's not better because it has a dick, even though it doesn't make any sense, and then gone about my day.
And then I would have been fine. I would have escaped with my dad, and we would have summered in Crete, and things would have been great.
Things would have been amazing, so, like, you should have thought of that.
It's on Netflix.
That's all I have to say. It's on Netflix if you feel like watching it.
I feel like this movie is such a good example of just, like, you can follow any idea down a rabbit hole, but it doesn't mean that you should make a film out of it. Because I really felt like so much of the decisions that were made were just like, well, I made this decision, so now I'll make this one. And, like, you're just like this perpetual motion machine that's, like, not realizing the whole story that you're telling. It's like, why was there a Russian mafia? Why was this about elder abuse? Like, why were there so many girl boss moments? Like,
just, I don't get it. This movie would be, like, 50% better if you removed all the girl boss moments immediately. Like, at least then it would be clear you weren't trying to girl bossify her. But here it's like, what are you trying to do?
Literally. Like, I... Yeah.
Anyway.
Thanks so there you much go. For listening.
This one was a rant.
Yeah.
This one was heated.
It got heated. I know. I'm actually kind of impressed with us, because I was worried before I started this. I'm like, how do we talk about this without just being like, it's not funny. I didn't think it was funny. Like,
I know, right? Exactly. And that's, like, honestly, it didn't even come up, but I didn't think it was funny.
I know. I know. I was like, black comedy. Where is the comedy? Yeah.
Like, so we watched the whole movie, right? And I went in, like, totally blind. I didn't even Google it beforehand. And I didn't realize it was supposed to be a black comedy until I Googled it afterwards and saw everyone calling it a black comedy. So, like, I feel like that's not my fault. I feel like that's your fault.
I know. I also feel like that term is just so overused.
Yeah, exactly. She won a fucking Golden Globe, though, for best actress in this movie, in, like, comedy or musical.
I mean, she did a great job, but, like,
crazy movie to win that for.
Yeah.
She didn't even get the Golden Globe. She got nominated, but didn't get it for Gone Girl. She was robbed for that.
See, that's... This is what I hate about awards, is, like, they'll do, like, makeups, or they're like, we should have gotten one.
Which is crazy to me. That's crazy.
She did a good job, but, like, I don't know. So, when you dislike the project, so it, like, sours the...
Exactly.
The performance. Which, also, dude, by the way, Peter Dinklage was so fucking good.
He was so good in this. He was great.
So good.
That's the other thing, too, is, like, the writer-director is apparently, like, it's these two horrible people up against each other. But the only thing we see Roman doing is trying desperately to free his mother.
I know.
So, like, we don't even see him, like, murder people. Like, it happens,
Like, right. People are murdered. He tries to kill, or his men try to kill Marla's girlfriend. But, like, it's hard to be like, what two horrible people, when we've spent, like, an hour watching Rosamund Pike play the most horrible person alive and most charismatic man of all time, Peter Dinklage, play, like, a mafia boss who's, like, funny.
I know. Well, so, that's like, the other thing. It's like, they wrote his scenes to be comedic. Hers were not funny because she was just, like, the worst person ever, and we're supposed to laugh at that, I guess.
I know, right? What? Yeah, so it's like, okay, I was definitely rooting for Peter Dinklage. What are you talking about?
That's such a good point. It's not a
hard choice. Yeah. I thought it was interesting, too, that they talk about, like, drug mule human trafficking and not, like sex worker human trafficking, which, like, I know is perhaps not a substantial difference to people, but, like, felt like the more sympathetic choice almost, where it's like, okay, human trafficking of, like, sex workers, like against their will, like, victims, like, the most horrible crime I can imagine. Like, people moving drugs across the border, like, I don't find as much instant hatred for that, you know?
That's so funny. He's like, yeah, we can throw in elder abuse, but that's actually too far.
It's very interesting.
I don't get it.
Complete tangent. That same year that Rosamund Pike was nominated for Gone Girl was when Reese Witherspoon was nominated in Wild. And Julianne Moore won for Still Alice, which I don't know shit about. But, like, how funny is that? That it's always, like, the movies people forget about instantaneously that, like, win the award. And the ones that, like, last culturally, like, dude. I feel like Wild and Gone Girl did. Or just, like, I don't know. It's just
That's
funny.
A good point. I totally forgot about Still Alice.
Watch it?
I didn't. I don't know. It's one of those movies that's, like, so heavy that it feels like it's just made nominations. Like, it's about her getting early onset dementia.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, I was just like, that's too much, man.
Yeah.
For me personally, for, like, personal reasons. Yeah, exactly. It's not like you can't make that anyway.
Not like in general. Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
There you go. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening.
And we'll catch you next time.
We'll catch you later.
Bye.
Bye.